Well, hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we look at the great feast of St. Peter Claver. Did you know that he was a Jesuit priest? He was from Spain, and he was ordained in the New World in what is now present-day Colombia in 1616. And he cared for many, many African slaves who were brought through the port each month. He brought Christ to them, climbing into the filthy, pestilential holds of the ships to feed them, baptize the dying, and hear confessions. And this is what's interesting. His work angered those who considered the slaves to be less than human. And for a time, Peter was actually forbidden to perform baptisms. At the end of his life, he fell victim to the plague and was confined to his bed under the care of an African servant who was somewhat neglectful, and he accepted everything without complaint. Everything. Brothers and sisters, what would you do in similar circumstances? What would you do if you were alone? You were ministering to all these people who perhaps didn't care for you. They just wanted to be free. And the holds of the ships were terrible, absolutely terrible. And he did it all without complaint. Think of that. Let's take a look at the first reading for today's liturgy. From St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, 24 to chapter 2, verse 3. Brothers and sisters, look what he quotes here from the Bible. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, as Jesus did. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister in accordance with God's stewardship given to me to bring to completion for you the word of God, the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past. But now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. You know, brothers and sisters, I've been thinking so much that it's not just trying to imitate Christ. The call really is to decrease. Not to be thinking so much about ourselves and how we're doing and where we're going, but how can I honor him today? How can I glorify him today in my thoughts, my words, my actions? How can I turn to him and bring him blessing rather than just saying, hello, God, here I am, goodbye for the day, but really turn ourselves toward him and ask him what he would want of us this day? If nothing comes, just do what you think you should be doing. But ask him, because the day may come when he'll tell you what he wants of you and where he wants you to go or to do. It may be a small thing, but it could be something more. Open your heart to him more and more, brothers and sisters, because the scripture tells us that now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. It is he whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. For this I labor and struggle in accord with the exercise of his power, working within me. I labor and struggle. It's so hard, brothers and sisters, to put ourselves aside and to look to him. We just automatically turn to self. How am I doing today? What am I doing today? Rather than, Lord, what do you want of me today? How can I serve you today? How can I love you? How can I help your people today? It's a whole reorientation in the Christian life, and it isn't easy. It isn't easy. This first reading says, I want you to know how great a struggle I am having for you and for those in Laodicea and all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged as they are brought together in love to have all the richness of assured understanding for the knowledge of the mystery of God, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I was struck in my own life a couple weeks ago. Someone came up to me and complimented me. And, you know, I was just going around thinking, isn't that nice? I was complimenting. I never once in those few moments turned to the Lord. It was a little later in the day when I said, what was I doing? Taking it to myself. I mean, I'm thankful. I'm grateful if people offer me thanks. Certainly, I am grateful for it. But the glory for it belongs to him. And I just have to keep turning it over. I have to get, how can I say this? Sometimes in bed at night, I remember, you know, oh my goodness, this happened today or that happened today. And I just keep telling him, all the glory belongs to you, not to me. The Psalm 62, in God is my safety and glory. Trust him at all times, part of the psalm says. Only in God be at rest my soul. From him comes my hope. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be disturbed. Trust in him at all times, O my people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Every one of us has a refuge. You know, brothers and sisters, so often we just don't think of him. When anything goes right for us or is good for us, we say, oh, you're really good here, you know, pointing to ourselves, or you really mastered this. But in reality, our Lord has helped us. He turns to us. He wants to be asked. He wants us to turn to him and to look to him for wisdom, for insight, or for just the right thing to say at that particular time to someone. He knows the other person's soul in a way that neither you nor I know. And he knows what is needed and what would be good to say. Just ask him. If nothing comes, then go ahead with what you were thinking. But take the time to pause, to stop and say, Lord, help me here. All right, now let's take a look at the gospel for today. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man there whose right hand was withered. My goodness, a hand that's actually withered would not be helpful at all. And so many people had to work so hard in those days. It would have been difficult for him. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. They're not thinking about the needs of their brother. They're thinking about following the rule. And we want to say what is best in this situation, and God will guide us. And it says in the gospel, but he realized their intentions, and he said to the man with the withered hand, come up and stand before us. And he rose and stood there. You can imagine what he must have felt like, embarrassed perhaps, or ashamed, or this is Jesus, you know, would Jesus heal me? And then Jesus said, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it? In other words, what's more important here? Is that I follow the rule or I do something good for someone that's really desperately needed? And looking around at them all, he said to him, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was restored. A withered hand was restored to a healthy hand, something that could be used not only for himself but for others. His hand was restored. But all of the scribes and the Pharisees became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. Do you see where their minds have gone? He didn't follow the rule. He didn't do what was exactly the thing you're supposed to do here. He worked. It was the Sabbath, but it was to bring healing to someone else. Brothers and sisters, I think we have to honestly get some of those ways of thinking into our mind. It's God's law. It's God's way. It's God's command. That's the most important thing. I don't mean to disobey human laws, but to work as hard as we can, at least in our own lives, to do what God would do in a situation. And many times they coincide and it's fine, but just ask, Lord, what would you do, Lord? What do you want here? Give me the courage to do what you want. Give me the courage to change a situation or to help at least in a situation. I remember many years ago, there was a group of people who were going to work early in the morning, and they had a sudden tornado in this part of the country, and the cars they were in, the car of a particular couple with children in the car, and the car was pushed off right into the river. And the man was desperately trying to get help. These cars, about 12 of them, all stopped, which is a blessing in itself. They all stopped. They got out. They sized up the situation very quickly, and they rescued, I believe it was two children and the husband and wife. The husband was doing a yeoman's share himself trying to get out, but he didn't have very much time at all because they were thrown into deep water, and he was trying to do the best he could. But when these other people came, they all went to work right away, and God gave them the insight what to do and how to do it to get that family saved, and they did. I wonder if no one had come by there in those hours, what would have happened? Right, or not in those hours, but in those moments, what would have happened? They have four deaths, five deaths. Brothers and sisters, God gives us many times. We've got to be wise, but God gives us wisdom and help when we turn to him. And so often, you know, so often people turn to him when they're really, really, really struggling. But it's talking about also the daily struggles of life. Lord, I just want to be angry with that person. And I'm not saying stuff your anger. Sometimes it has a place, but how you express it would be different than just blowing off steam. So what we want to do is ask the Lord, what would you have me do right here? And many, many times, brothers and sisters, we can bring peace. We can bring peace. I've noted in the commentary from Magnificat that it says, I have been firmly convinced that men are not able to satisfy God's justice for the slightest fault. This has given me joy, first because it frees me from the everlasting uneasiness that would be mine as to whether I had done enough for my sins. For I should always be saying to myself, no, you have not done enough. The fault it is not in your power. There is need of God's love, need of God's blood as well to wipe it out. For the penalty there is need of an eternity or the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Now this blood and these sufferings are in my own hands. I would rather owe my grace to God's mercy than to my own efforts, because that would be more glorious to God and make him much more lovable to me. Those words were said by St. Claude de Colombière, who was a French Jesuit priest. Brothers and sisters, really take a look at this. Your agenda, take it all to God. Give it to him and ask him to lead you in the right way. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.